This is a lecture given at St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas. Visit our website, stdave.org.
2009 Annual Parish Meeting of St. David's Episcopal Church is now called to order. You should have two handouts, one that is a single sheet folded in half with the order of business and other pertinent information. That's this one. Everybody see? All right. And one has the information about the nominees for vestry and diocesan council delegate nominee. So you see, you got those two things. All right, the order of business is on the front of the handout that starts with 172nd Annual Meeting, January 27, 2019. This is what is proposed for this meeting. It is in the handout and it's on the screens. Are there any objections to us adopting this order of business? Seeing none, we will continue forward with that as our order. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God, you have made of one blood all the peoples of the earth, and you sent your blessed Son to preach peace to those who are far off and to those who are near. Grant that people everywhere may seek after you and find you, bring the nations into your fold, pour out your Spirit upon all flesh, and hasten the coming of your kingdom. We pray especially for this meeting of St. David's that everything that we do will be in accordance with your will. In Jesus' most holy name, amen. All right, a few appointments to start with. First, I appoint Lowell Keg, who will serve as the parliamentarian for this meeting. Thank you, Lowell. Appreciate it. Also want to thank you for your counsel throughout the year to this wonderful church. I also appoint Carrie Moore to serve as clerk of this meeting. Thank you. All right, as you will note in your order of business, the meeting may choose with the election of managers. However, unless there's an objection, the following persons are appointed to serve as tellers for this meeting. The head teller will be Bill Ryson. Bill, would you raise your hand over here on this side? Very good. And the tellers will be Francis Ryson. Francis, raise your hand. Thank you. Kay Bonner, Tucker Bonner, Elaine Hunt, and Rex Hunt. The Bishop Andy Doyle, the Bishop of the Diocese of Texas, has asked us to show a video from him at our annual parish meetings, so we're very excited to hear a word from our bishop.
Annual meetings are an important part of the governance of the church, and I appreciate your attention and your attendance. I'm grateful for your stewardship of gifts that help to support the mission of your congregation. Your congregation itself is important to me and is an important part of the wider work of the diocese and family. We are today made up of over 200 Episcopal congregations and communities from Longview to Flashes, from Austin to Houston. We are small house churches, large congregations, college missions, churches that date from before when Texas was Texas, and new mission churches. Hurricane Harvey continued to be a major emphasis of our 2018 work, and we've been able to fully implement Harvey recovery thanks to our help. To your help, we have engaged in a mission-oriented recovery effort in partnership with congregations and Episcopal Relief and Development. We are doing truly amazing work, and I'm grateful to our staff and to you for bringing about this collaborative effort. We also continue to make progress in our strategic goals. For instance, in 2018, we planted 3 churches and 22 missional communities across the diocese. This is a tangible result of our relationship building in our communities. We planted 9 new congregations, 89 missional communities, and 16 college missions in our 10 years together. We also continue to build relationships across the church. We, as a diocese, continue to have healthy leadership within the wider communion through lay, clergy, and my own involvement. We have also continued to improve our relationship with the wider Episcopal Church. One of the highlights of 2018 was our diocese hosted the 79th General Convention of the Episcopal Church in Austin. It's no understatement when I say it was a huge success. Visitors from across our church remarked upon the Texas hospitality they received from many of you who volunteered different times throughout the convention. One of our goals is to provide tools and resources for practical ministry needs, and we were able in 2019 assessment between 6 and 10% for the fifth year in a row. As we look at 2019, we will continue to underwrite the work of existing congregations and offer growth grants for missional efforts. You set a goal of planting 3 more congregations and 25 new missional communities. An emphasis for 2019 will be on starting and restarting missions on campuses of historically black colleges and universities within our diocese. Last spring, we established a student organization at Texas Southern University, and this fall, we commenced work at Texas College and Tyler. We intend to reboot a ministry with students at Prairie View A&M in the fall of 2019. As a diocese, we are all looking forward to the election of a new bishop suffering for the West region and to integrating that person to the life of the diocese and into the life of our community. The Office of the Liturgical Commission has been formed under the leadership of Bishop Fisher, and they are prepared to follow up on the work of General Convention in collecting and evaluating resources. This year, we will help you and work together by looking at non-Eucharistic worship like morning prayer, especially as we look for resources for our smaller churches. Another goal in 2019 will be to evaluate where we are in terms of leadership diversity, especially among our larger congregations. Will be a conversation around encouraging and recruiting the best candidates for positions and vacancies all over the country. In addition, our communications department will be creating monthly cue sheets in English and in Spanish for congregational students, and we will be hiring a new communications director. There is much to give thanks for as we look back at 2008 and much to be excited about as we look forward to 2019. At this moment, let us pause and give thanks to God for the generations of leaders who have gone before us, people like yourself who took their place in the councils of the church, people like you who gave generously to God's mission locally and abroad. We give thanks, I give thanks, for those who generously provide and have provided resources for future generations by creating funds and foundations for our future mission. We give thanks for the gift of meaningful work for all our congregations, missions, campus ministries, missional communities, schools, and other institutions, and for all the clergy and people who serve in the Diocese of Texas. Let us pray for a renewed spirit to continue the work God has given us to do, so that together we may write this next chapter of our church's story. Let us give thanks for God in Christ Jesus, our Savior, God with us, who always goes before us to lead us and to guide us. Amen.
Well, if the bishop was here, I would thank him for his. But we are thrilled. I am thrilled to be under his leadership, and we are thrilled to be guided by him as our diocesan bishop. And I appreciate his good word. All right, the minutes for the 2018 annual parish meeting are in your handout. If you would take the same one that has the order business on the front, open it, and inside left, you'll see the minutes on the top left corner. Please take a moment and review those. All right, are there any additions or corrections to these minutes? All right, then without objection, the minutes will stand approved as printed. Boom, there's the gavel. Boom, done. All right. Now I'd invite Lowell Keg to review our election procedures with us.
The election procedure is included in the handout with the order of business, and it reads: the canons of the Diocese of Texas provide that men and women at least 16 years of age who are enrolled confirmed communicants in good standing of the parish are entitled to vote for members of the vestry and upon all questions requiring the action of the congregation, but none shall be admitted to serve as members of the vestry except those who are at least 18 years of age. Under the canon, St. David's has decided that 15 qualified persons shall serve 3-year terms on the vestry, 5 of whom shall be elected each year and by written ballot. A member of the vestry having served a 3-year term shall not be eligible to re-election until 1 year has passed after the end of the member's term. Only those present at the annual parish meeting are entitled to cast a ballot. Voting by absentee ballot has not been authorized. All elections by parish tradition are determined by those receiving the highest number of votes within the field of eligible nominees. A majority of those voting is not required to elect. In this parish, tellers appointed by the rector are designated under the canon as the election managers charged with reporting the results of elections to the rector unless the meeting by a two-thirds vote shall determine otherwise. By canon, members of the vestry may not be elected to serve more than 3 consecutive years. However, this restriction does not apply to a person serving an unexpired term. The person is eligible for nomination and election to a full term at the conclusion of service for the unexpired term. As to council delegate elections, the parish is entitled under the canon to elect 4 lay delegates. Elections may be either by the vestry or at the annual parish meeting, as the vestry may determine, unless one of these methods has been stipulated at an annual parish meeting. By parish tradition, persons elected lay delegates serve 4-year terms, with one position being filled each year. By canon, the rector is authorized to fill any vacancy in the lay delegation at the time council meets by appointment from parishioners who meet the qualifications.
Thank you, Lowell. Are there any questions about how our election procedure? All right, well then, the following persons have been nominated to serve as members of the vestry. 5 will serve for a 3-year term, and 1 will serve a 1-year unexpired term. And that will be determined at the vestry meeting immediately following this meeting, where they will literally draw straws to decide who serves the 1-year unexpired term. That person would then be eligible to run for a full 3-year term. So if you're present, I invite those who have been nominated to please stand as I call your name. Doug Bell. Jennifer Jocelyn Simikowski. All right, thank you. Sarah Capostasi. Martha Newton. Over here. Lee Parker. Joy Harris Philpott. And Billy K. Thompson. Well, first of all, y'all remain standing, please. Thank them for their willingness to serve. Thank you. You may be seated. Are there other nominations? Okay, before we, I declare the nominations have closed. Before we move to election, though, I want to say, we find ourselves in an awkward pastoral position. We're electing 6 people to serve on vestry, and we have 7 nominees. There is no other way around it. That stinks. So, you know, that just makes it really difficult for somebody today. And so I want to say on behalf of the parish how much we love all of you. And we are going to trust the Holy Spirit to guide us as we make selections. But the one person who is not elected, you need to hear that we love you and that we are going to immediately put you to work doing something else. So, all right. Just felt like that needed to be said. All right. So I'm looking. We're doing all the elections at the same time. Okay, one person has been nominated to serve as delegate to the Diocesan Council to serve a 4-year term, and that is Aaron Puckett McClure. Aaron, right here. Very good. Aaron, thank you. Are there any other nominations for Diocesan Council? Since there are no further nominees, without objection, the nominations are closed. And since there is only one nominee for this position, may I have a motion to vote by acclamation to declare? So moved. A second. All in favor, say aye. Opposed. All right, very good. So congratulations, Aaron, and thank you for your willingness to serve. All right, I'll now invite the tellers to distribute the ballots to be used for voting for vestry representation. You can disregard the Diocesan Council delegate, as we just declared that. You'll also receive pencils if you need one. Please do not begin to mark your ballots until you have received further instruction. So get them, and then Lowell will talk a little bit more. All right, everyone should have a ballot and a pencil. Now I'm going to ask Lowell Keg to give us further instruction.
Each person eligible to vote should have one ballot. On this ballot, please mark no more than 6 candidates for vestry. Any ballot with more than the allowed number of each vote will be disqualified. When you have completed your ballot, please fold it and hold it up to be collected by a teller. Any questions?
All right, very good. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. I invite you to just prayerfully look at the list, at the faces of our dear friends who are willing to serve, and offer a prayer for each of them. Come, Holy Spirit, and be our guide. Amen. Now it is time to vote. So please mark your ballots and then hold them up or pass them down to the end and give them to the tellers. If you have not turned in your ballot, we invite you to hold it up high so our tellers can see it and can see you. Are there any more ballots? Last call. Going once, going twice. Done. Thank you, Bill. And off they go to the secret place where they will do their secret work. All right, if I can draw your attention back to the front, please. We'll continue with our order. Now I would like to recognize our whole class of 20, the whole vestry of 2018. I invite you to come forward and stand in front, please, if you would. Christine Burdell, Bob Davis, go ahead. Yes, Shiloh Fallon, Linda Gephardt, Jennifer Glass, Chris Goretzka, Scott Hendricks, Gustavo Hernandez, Alex Knapp, Eric Malnassi, Diane Mazuka, Charles Moody, Carrie Moore, Martha Salazar, and Mav Turner. Ladies and gentlemen, please take a moment and thank these wonderful people for their We thank you for your tireless effort of leadership. This group works incredibly hard, and we have an awful lot of fun while we're doing it. So we really do appreciate you all. We want to recognize those who are retiring, and I have a lot of egg on my face here. For retiring members, we have gifts for you, but they are not here yet. So that is really embarrassing, but we do love you, and we do have stuff, you know, swag. Just to represent, let's see, we'll trade you 3 years of your really hard work for something you can put on your desk. It'll be great. All right. But I want to thank those who are retiring. Shiloh Fallon, who has been an incredible member and incredible senior warden. Thank you, Shiloh. Gustavo Hernandez, who has served in every capacity and he's junior warden. Charles Moody has served for 2 years as our treasurer. Bob Davis, where are you, Bob? Thank you so much. Jennifer Glass, thank you, Jennifer. And Diane Mazuka, thank you. each of these wonderful people had brought their incredible gifts to bear on the great work that we have to do. And they have brought it with a huge sense of humor. I can tell you this, who those of you who are standing for election, the burden is heavy upon you because three of our most extroverted members are rotating off of the vestry. And it's about to get a lot quieter. So thank you all, and we love you. We appreciate you, vestry members. Thank you. And now I would like to ask the parish staff to come forward and stand in front, if you would, please. Those who are here, we had a lot of staff members who are actually out working right this minute, and many who aren't here on Sundays but work very hard. Invite you all to come forward. Yes. Absolutely. That's a good graphic because you are all superheroes as far as I'm concerned. Yes, absolutely. So this is the folks who happen to be in the room, and they represent a much larger group of everyone that we know and love and that you see in all these different capacities as you make your way through the life of this church. So please thank them for all of their hard work. You may have noticed that, we go through staff transitions each year, and we're not going to review all of that, but you may have noticed just right away that Peter Hahn was not standing up here, who is our, I think David, my predecessor, called him St. Peter at the door. I call him the minister of first impressions because those folks do such a great job of welcoming everyone. But Peter, unfortunately, has decided it is time for him to retire due to health reasons, and so he wasn't able to be here today. But do reach out to him and tell him how much you appreciate all his work, and we will introduce you to the other folks through our normal means of communication. With one exception, Lori, I did notice the bishop said that they will be looking for a new communications director. You are not available. That's Lori Blewett, our newest member and new communications director. So we want you to stay right here. Thank you very much. All right. Now, you can find your 2018 annual report with reports from Senior Warden Jim Sargent and our parish administrator and a number of other staff and lay leaders regarding happenings in 2018 and 2019. We do have hard copies of those. They are online. I believe they are referenced on here somewhere. Maybe not. But I do want to encourage you to go find that. We find ourselves in that dilemma. It is a 27-page document. That means an incredible amount of work that's going on here. But we didn't want to print 300 pages of a 27-page document for you to leave sitting in the chair that is sitting there. So we do encourage you. We didn't print them out. But we do encourage you to go online and review those and see the incredible work that's going on, but also the incredible writing that's there. Our staff took this very seriously, and our volunteer leaders all took it seriously, so we have good reports, and we invite you to turn your attention to that. Or you can contact Catherine Roberts for a hard copy of that. And now we would like to go to some reports that the canons require. The first is from our senior warden, Shiloh.
Thank you all for coming to our annual meeting. Thank you, Catherine, for this very flattering cartoon. It's been such a great year. I was very lucky to come in 2018 when we had just passed a balanced budget. Thanks to all the hard work of Robert Sumners, the previous senior warden, and the 2017 vestry. And we've just had so much good work done this year, not just by our staff, but also by so many of you. And there are two things I want to highlight. First of all, our ongoing capital campaign, which debuted, sort of was opened up for the general public on Epiphany this year. A tremendous amount of work by many volunteers and tireless work by our CCS consultants made that possible. And so there were just countless interviews and meetings. And I just want everyone that has participated in the Capital campaign to stand up and be recognized. So thank you so much for your love of St. David's. And thank you to everybody that has given to the Capital campaign and will give. So please consider, I know that this is Commitment Sunday, so please consider making a donation to the Capital campaign if you haven't already. Secondly, this was a historic year for Texas and for St. David's and for the Diocese of Texas because, as Bishop Andy mentioned in his video, we had the annual convention right on our doorstep. And that was made possible by so many of you as well because we not only did we have our own members organizing the volunteers, we also, so many of you, helped welcome people into the halls of St. David's and served thousands of meals, welcomed thousands of visitors. So please stand if everybody that helped out in any capacity in the convention. Thank you so much. St. David's was absolutely 100% a, you know, I don't think the convention could have gone on without us. We were the... This is not a time for modesty. And so just thank you so much. And thank you, everyone, that made this a wonderful year, the vestry, Chuck, the staff. I just appreciate it so much. And I'm very excited for all the great things that the new vestry is going to do. So thank you again.
Thank you, Shiloh. Thank you, and it's nice to see that your faith is still intact. Yeah. That's very good. I'm very excited about that. I'd invite Charles Moody to come forward for our treasurer's report. There's one on the... Oh, you're going to use that.
Thank you, Chuck. Good morning. I'm Charles Moody. I'm the recently deceased treasurer, so I'm glad to be there. I have a short and very boring financial report to give this morning, which in my mind is the best possible kind, so I'm pleased to be able to give it. I hope that you are excited by the boringness of the report that I'm going to be able to give you. If you were here last year at this meeting when I recapped 2017, it was not so boring. It was a little more exciting in 2017. As 2017 began, we had pledges well below what we had budgeted. We were looking at the possibility of an operating deficit of upwards of $200,000. That didn't happen in 2017 because of some things that happened during 2017, most notably the transfer of the garage to an outside operator. So we're getting lease payments on that. That helped us dramatically on both the revenue and the expense side. There were also in 2017 some voluntary staff departures for which Chuck and Jim figured out how to essentially reallocate assignments such that our full-time staff became a bit smaller. And then there's parishioner giving that happened in 2017, which was in excess of what had been pledged in 2017. So the combination of those two things meant at the end of 2017, we actually ended up right on target with no deficit, no surplus, but just right where we needed to be. So that all happened in 2017, and as 2018 began, all that was in place, and we were able at the beginning of 2018 to just adopt a budget, planning for a surplus, and then follow that budget. So the image for 2018 was pretty much calm waters and smooth sailing. A few numbers to go with that. In the 2018 budget, we budgeted in revenues of $3.44 million. And expenses of $3.06 million. The surplus is not quite as large as that looks like because we have to run about a $300,000 surplus to cover the repayment of debt principal that we're doing now and will be doing for the next 3 years. But when that's added in, that was about $320,000. That still left a budgeted addition to cash reserves of about $60,000. I haven't seen the final numbers, but my understanding is we're going to do at least that well. So we're going to end up adding to our cash reserve for 2018. For the 2019 budget, we have budget revenues of $3.93 million. That's a 14% increase from 2018, primarily because of increases in the garage. We have budget expenses of $3.26 million. That is a 7% increase. One of the parameters the committee asked Jim to follow in preparing the budget, Jim and Chuck, was to ensure that the rate of increase in expenses was less than or equal to the rate of increase in revenues, and they more than did that. There will again be repayment of debt principal and capital investments of $25,000, but we still project that we may be able to add to cash reserves for 2019 of nearly $300,000. It would be terrific if it happened, but that is our projection for looking for this year. We see this year as a time to be prudent and really intentionally try to add to cash reserves. We're conscious that we're in a political and economic environment of unusual volatility, and that there is a chance that some things may happen that may cause our revenue projections not to materialize. So we think that while we can, we want to add to cash reserves to be insulated against that possibility somewhat in the upcoming years. The components of the revenue for this year, parishioner giving, about $1.8 million. The garage lease is over $1.6 million. We get from the foundation over $200,000 to help with our debt service. And then everything else combined is about $280,000. So that's where that $3.9 million in revenues comes from. So overall, this is a really, as I say, a healthy and kind of boring financial look, which is great. It's a much sounder position than it was just a couple of years ago, and we're extremely grateful for it. If you wanted to just look and see, are there any kind of dark clouds on the horizon financially, there are probably a couple of things that are worth mentioning. One is, if you look at just the number of pledges, there's a multi-year trend that we kind of continue watching that is not what we want. So this goes back a number of years. It's by no means unique to St. David's, but the number of pledges received has gone down pretty decidedly over a decade. If you look at dollar figures, it's not nearly this dramatic because the 400 or so people that are giving, most of whom are in this room, are giving generously, and the amount that they give has increased. So the dollar figures are not, the decline has not been nearly this dramatic, but it's still, you don't want the financial burden to be shouldered by fewer and fewer people. So that's one thing to watch. The other thing is, if you look at the composition of our revenues, those have changed pretty decidedly over the last 3 years. 3 years ago, the garage accounted for about 18% of our revenues, and today, or upcoming in 2019, we expect that to be 45%. So that's a pretty pronounced change in 3 years. We are thrilled with what the garage is doing for us, but as we're rejoicing in that, we don't want to close our eyes to the fact that if it weren't happening, we might be in kind of hot water financially if the garage were not doing as tremendously well as it is doing. So that's my financial report. It is, again, I'm really pleased that we are in the position we are in, and if there are questions that you have, I will try to address them. Yes, sir.
So what are the major debts that we're trying to work off and when will they expire?
The question was, what are the debts that we're trying to work off and when will they expire? These are from the last time we did a major capital project, and we are close to the end of them. So we will lose a small part of this debt in 2020, and then we'll lose the rest of it in 2022. So we are nearly to the end of being, of paying off that big multi-year debt. Yes, sir.
You mentioned a few slides back the everything else category. Mm-hmm.
The question is, what is in this remaining category? We have a few mineral or property rights that cover a bit of it. There are a few kind of small or foundation gifts that are in there, I think. There are a variety of elements, that none of which individually is very big, but together make up that part of our budget. Estate gifts would be another part of that giving. Yes.
To clarify on estate gifts, if people give to the foundation, that money goes into the foundation. So it's just people that have not planned as we were.
Okay, thank you. Yes. Oh, hospitality revenue?
Yes,
so that would be, the question is, where does the money that comes in through our hospitality events show up? That would also, absolutely, you're right, that would be in the everything else category. And hospitality has, just in the last couple of years, gone to significantly increasing what it is bringing in. So thank you for bringing that up. That also belongs in there. Yes. It is because giving income has shrunk slightly, although in this last year, for the first time, we did not see a decrease. I think in 2018, we are going to equal exceed what we got in 2017. So that is we hope that is a reversal of a trend that goes back a long time, a decade or so. But it's mainly because the garage has just increased dramatically. Yes.
Is the decline in the number of pledges related in any way, I'm sure it is some way, to the a smaller number of members of the parish?
I think yes is the answer. The question is the number of pledges related to a decrease in the number of members overall, and I think that is true. Yes. I think it's a great thought. I'm going to hand that off to the people who are remaining in charge. I don't know if we can just build up from the roof and just keep going with levels of parking, but it's been a wonderful thing.
All right, thank you, Charles. Please join me in thanking Charles. What happened? What just popped up? Oh, there you go. That's not too bad. I like the one from last year. That was that really good-looking guy on TV who's a priest, you know? That was better. I think I wanted to clarify one thing on Charles's report. Just to make sure you all understand, the reason the garage income has gone up is because we have an outside company who is managing it now. That's also why the parking spaces are so small and so annoyingly small. And I drive the full-size truck, so I know how annoyingly small they are. But every one of those parking spaces is part of the reason that we're in this healthy position that we're in. And so that has been a good financial decision. And so I just wanted to clarify that. All right, my job is to talk a little bit about, as soon as we have election results, where somebody, when they come in, just wave at me and I'll stop talking, right? Because we really want to get to that as soon as we know, because that's the one thing that's left before we begin the 11:15. Also, if you're going to worship at 11:15 or 11:20, when the time comes, you just go on, and we have priests who are ready to get those liturgies started on time. So, You know, as I thought about my own report, which is written, and I'll be preaching about this in just a few minutes to some degree, and then I listened to the other reports that we heard, and we all kind of highlighted the same things. We highlighted General Convention and the impact that it had on the life of our congregation, which was just great fun. And, you know, the fact that we had Hallie Ortiz and Anthony Chappell at the helm running the whole thing. Hallie, who is in the room. Hallie, yes. Was in charge of the whole General Convention. And so that's part of the reason it was so fabulous. Anthony was in charge of all of the volunteer coordination. So that's part of it. Yes. And I understand now, clergy get accused of not knowing how to count often because we say there's a lot more people in worship than are actually there, but at least from our perspective. So I can't claim that I'm perfect at counting, but I think there are about 1,000 volunteers involved in General Convention, and I think St. David's provided 100 or more volunteers. So in my math, that's like 10%. Is that right? So 10% of the volunteers came from one congregation, and it was you. And so I thank you. Give yourselves an applause for that. Which is just really exciting. And I put a bet on the floor of Diocesan Convention with Merrill Wade at St. Matthew's, and he has not paid up yet. So we've got to. So I think council is on its way. I may have to bring that up. Yeah. I think we'll have to bring that up as a point of order at Diocesan Council. So we had kind of the same focus on the big events in the life of our church, which is just great fun. Combine that with all the other big events, South by Southwest, and all the other things that we host here and continue to host. It's a big, fun, exciting year. We draw our attention also to the Parish Initiative, which is work that's under Amy's leadership, but it's also growing and it's morphing. We're learning more and more about what it means to be a downtown church and what it means to live into that decision that was made 20 or 30 years ago to stay here, to stay in downtown Austin. And what does that actually look like? Acknowledging that people come from 48 different zip codes to come to church here on Sunday, but our parish, meaning the definition of that old word, the neighborhood we're in, is downtown Austin. And so what does it look like to take that responsibility seriously of being a downtown parish, loving our neighbors in all the forms in which they come, from those who live in the really expensive high-rises to those who are sleeping on our steps every night and everything in between. And so we take that very seriously. And so that continues to expand, and it's expanded a lot this year, and it will continue to expand in the years to come. And so we're very excited about that. And, of course, we did launch the capital campaign, and you all are doing so well on this. I mean, we just had today's the end gathering, so I'll be very excited to hear from April, Monday or Tuesday, on how that ended up. But I want to emphasize that when we set a goal for $5 million to raise this year, we set that as what we thought we could raise. That's not what we need. Obviously, our old church could use far more than $5 million to refurbish the historic church and to make it beautiful and to work through all of this parish building and freshen it all up. The building that you're in that we all consider new is actually 20 years old. And so you just think about all the things that you had to do on your house if you moved into a new house about 20 years in, all the different things that you had to replace and repair. And that's kind of where we are in this portion of the building. So we have all those things to do. But what it seems to really have done is created this new high level of energy and excitement and enthusiasm. Part of the reason that I think our giving has actually flattened out, which is actually good news in the modern church, that we've stopped the slow decline, is because of this high emphasis that we have right now in the capital campaign on our financial stewardship, what it means to be a member of the church, what it means to participate. One of the questions was, is it because we have a smaller number of members that our giving has gone down? That's partially true, but it's not proportionally true. Fewer people are carrying more of a load in the support of the congregation. The percentage of parishioners who are pledging continues to slide very gently. downward. And that's the other part that we really need to focus on, is to encourage all of you who are active members of the church to consider letting us know ahead of time what you're thinking about your giving. And that's the way we know this has changed. So the number of people who are telling us what they're pledging has dropped, but the giving is going up. And so we have more members who are giving but not saying they're giving. So that's a shift in the way we communicate about our giving. And we're trying to adapt to that and understand that. You'll notice our language has changed. We're not really talking about pledge drives anymore, but we are talking about giving and however you do that. And you'll also notice that we're talking about it all year, all the time. We don't just have the fall thing that we used to have, but this is an ongoing thing that we focus on. And so we're doing good. We're doing well in this, and I'm feeling very positive about where it's headed. I'm also feeling positive about where our attendance is going to go, because we've gotten some last quarter shifts and some things that are clicking up on that, so we're excited about that. And so I'm excited about where that goes with this financial energy. I see the Rysons in the room, so I'm going to assume that means we have a report. Is that, yes. But, oh, Catherine will bring it in. Oh, okay, thank you. I just saw you guys, so I thought we were good. All right. So that's what I wanted to say about the stewardship and about that. The next thing I want to say is where we're headed with our strategic planning. You know, we set a white paper out in 2017 with our goals and our initiatives, and the pattern was what we wanted to do was build in these initiatives, and then we could just add things to the list that we were doing. We could check things off and scratch things off, and that worked really well for about a year. It guided our work. It guided everything we were doing, but then we did not actually add things as much as we had hoped. And so now what we have is a white paper that's about 85 or 90% complete or underway. And so now we're in this conversation about how do we discern what is the next set of strategic objectives that we are working on. The vestry and I have been talking about this. The program staff and I have been talking about this. And we're looking at some tools that will lead us into filling in the blanks for our new strategic plan. So I'm going to pause there because I have lots more to say. I'm going to talk about this in my sermon. But again, I invite you to go online and look at all of the written reports that are there. We do have a result of our election, so I'm going to go back over here and read my instructions so I get this right. Okay, so I invite you to please hold your applause until I finish reading all the names of those elected. The following persons have been elected to serve as members of the vestry for either a 3-year term or a 1-year term. They are Doug Bell, Jennifer Jocelyn Simitkowski, Sarah Capostasi, Martha Newton, Lee Parker, and Joy Harris Philpott. Please thank them for their willingness to serve. Again, I thank you all for your willingness to serve. I reiterate our love for all 7 of you and our desire to get you eyeball deep in the life of the congregation. So here we go. All right. And now, fake drum roll, please. I will announce the next senior warden for 2019 is Carrie Moore. Thank you very much. Invite you to stand and let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, you stretched out your arms of love on the hardwood of the cross, that everyone might come within the reach of your saving embrace. So clothe us in your spirit, that we, reaching forth our hands in love, may bring those who do not know you to the knowledge and love of you, for the honor of your name. Amen. In 2018, we had 20 parish members who have died. Their names are before you on the screen. I will list them. I will name them off and ask you to pray for the repose of their souls and for their families. Ned Lohr, Pat Ford, Doris Tyler, Clyde Littlefield, Jack Ritter, Diana Bell, Pauline Zoller, Ann Terry, Martha Greenhill, Don Erickson, Bob Pendergrass, Bill Milstead, Terry Nathan, Rhoda Maxwell, Sally Hutspeth, Ray Chatterton, Mary Helen Farrow, George Brown, Phyllis McNally, and Michael McNamee. Lord, we remember those whom we love but who are no longer with us, commending them to your care in the communion of saints. Amen. And now we're going to sing. You're the senior warden. You're supposed to. Oh, okay. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Now may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen. Amen. The vestry, will meet in the vestry conference room immediately, because I have to go preach at 11:15, so let's get it. All business having been concluded, the 2018 annual parish meeting is adjourned. Sine die.
You can find more lectures and sermons on iTunes by searching for St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas, or visit our website at saintdave.org and click on the podcast button.